1 John chapter 5 and verse 4. Today is part 3 of the series that we've been in called Faith in God. And this series will change your tomorrows. This series will change your forever. Praise God. And so we're trying to put some things in you. And of course, like we always try to do, a little bit of review. And the purpose of that is, again, faith comes by hearing. We can't hear it enough. But you always have newer people that are watching or viewing or attending, and so we want to help you. But let's pray and believe God for utterance this morning. Let's pray and believe God for boldness, impartations, revelations, encouragement, and correction if need be. Hallelujah. Father, we welcome it all. And Lord, we welcome you into our lives, Father. Have your way in this service. Father, we're just so grateful and just so honored to be called children of God. Father, you demonstrated your love for us by giving us your Son. We don't have to wonder if you care about us. We are convinced that you do because you made it so clear. And Father, one of the wonderful things that you've done for us is in a demonstration of your love is giving us your Word. Father, there's a lot of places to get lost down on planet Earth. There's a lot of places to get stuck or to come up against nothing or to come up against a barrier that we can't get through. But Father, we're not left to wander or to wonder down here. You gave us a spiritual GPS. You gave us a spiritual compass and roadmap to get us into where you want us to go, to get us out of the places you don't want us in, to help get us past things that we could otherwise not do on our own. So thank you for the Word. And Father, as I minister your Word this morning, I thank you that you'll speak through me. Father, we need to hear from heaven. May I speak as the oracles of God and not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but a demonstration of the Spirit and power. And Father, like the psalmist of old said, make my tongue like the pen of a ready writer. When I open my mouth, words from heaven will flow through me and reach every single heart of every single hearer that is attending and participating in this service this morning. Thank you for hitting bullseyes. Thank you for helping them. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, in 1 John chapter 5, in verse 4, it says this, whatsoever is born of God overcomes the world. Now, we know that Jesus has promised us in John 16, 33, that we in this world will face tests and trials, adversities, oppression, opposition coming against us. And we know the reason that is. It's because the world is under the control of the devil. 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 4 calls Satan the god of this world. That's why things are so messed up on the planet, because a messed up one is running the show. But thankfully, God has said as Christians, even though things will come against us through the motivation, through the purposes of the enemy, we don't have to be overcome by them. That we as Christians can overcome the world. And we've seen in 2020 that there are things that come onto our doorstep and across our plate that are going to need to be overcome. Physical things, financial things, mental and emotional things. But thank God we don't have to be subject to everything that's going on. We don't have to be subject to being defeated just because there's a lot of pressure and opposition out there. No, we can overcome anything in the world. But the Bible tells us clearly here in 1 John 5 and verse 4, the victory that causes us to walk into that overcoming is not God's faith, it's not Jesus' faith, it's not the pastor's faith, it's our personal faith. Just like Paul said, you need to take the shield of faith, for with it, then you'll quench the fiery darts of the wicked. If you choose to not walk with the shield of faith, if you choose not to partake in faith, you will lose out on your victory. Because the victory that overcomes, the Bible says, is our faith. And so we're looking at faith. Go with me to Mark 11, verse 23. Mark 11, 23. So faith, we know, is in two places. It starts in our heart, for with the heart man believes. But then the Bible says in Romans 10, with the mouth confession is made. Why? Because once you hear the word, faith rises up in your heart, but faith can't stay in your heart. You can't leave the bullets in the gun if you want to get something in the woods. You got to let those babies fly. Amen. You do. You got to let them fly. You know, I remember the first deer that I ever killed. I was in New York State. I'm going to incriminate myself here, so don't turn this in. But I was young, you know, and my dad put me in a tree stand long before I should have been in a tree stand with a gun. But I had been shooting. He'd been teaching me. And they did a drive for me. And all of a sudden, up over the hill came a group of deer, and I shot one, and it went down, you know. And they came, and they found me, and they were all excited. And they said they saw the deer laying there, you know. And by the way, the size of the deer was, they accused me of killing Old Yeller. If you don't know who Old Yeller is, it was a yellow lab, and yellow labs are smaller than what deer should be. But this deer looked like a cousin to Old Yeller, or what they thought. They said, "Did you kill Old Yeller?" But anyways, it was my first, so it didn't matter, you know, we were excited. But they said to me, they said, "How many times did you shoot this deer?" I said, "One shot, it went down." They said, "Why'd we hear six?" I said, "Because there was a whole group of them." And I didn't know. I had guns in the bullet, bullets in the guns, and I had targets. So I just unloaded. Thank God I missed the next five shots. But my thinking was, if you have the gun loaded, you might as well shoot it. And when you hear about faith and you get faith on the inside of you, it's like loading that gun. It's loaded. It's ready to go. But you got to release that faith, praise God, into the atmosphere, because Jesus said in Mark 11, 23, he said, "Verily I say unto you that whosoever will say unto the mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart." So notice this. It's coming from faith words out of a faith place. It's originated in your heart, but Jesus said you must speak to the mountain. If it was just about having faith in your heart, he would not have had Mark 11, 23. But he said once it's in your heart, you speak to that mountain, those faith words, and shall believe that those things shall come to pass. He'll have what he says. So the mountains that are in our life, the financial things, the physical things, the things in our business, the things with our family, the things in the world coming against us, to remove those things, to get past them and into what God has, we must release our faith. Not just keep it dormant. Faith is in two places. And then verse 24, he says, "Therefore I say unto you, what things you desire." Notice this. "When you pray, believe that you receive and you'll have them." Mark 11, 23 and 24 are our faith verses. They tell us how to operate, how to receive. When life throws you a bad hand, these verses tell you how to turn that hand around, praise God. And we're thankful for those verses. But they didn't start with verse 23. They started with verse 22. "And Jesus answering said unto them, have faith in God." Yes, see, when you have faith in God, verses 23 and 24 happen automatically and easily, praise God. You don't sit around when you have verse 22 solidified in your heart. Okay, what are the steps of faith? What's the equation? What's the protocol or procedure for faith? No. When you have faith in God, you talk faith. You believe faith. You walk faith. You look faith. And so the answer to our faith it's boiled down and reduced to the beginning, is have faith in God. Because He's the one that's going to move through our faith to move the mountains. Our faith doesn't move the mountains. Our God that flows through our faith moves the mountains. So we got to have faith in Him, not faith in ourselves, and not faith in our own faith. We have faith in Him, praise God. And so it says, have faith in God. And I'll tell you, I believe with all my heart, the key to having faith that overcomes is having faith in God. Because once you have faith in Him, once you are believing Him and solidified at who He is, faith comes easy. Daniel 11:32, remember what Daniel 11:32 says? It says, they that know their God. Now remember when faith has to be born. Just like you and I had to be born and mama had to give birth to us. Well, faith had a mama and she needed to give birth, and the faith's mama is knowledge. That's why the Lord said, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Jesus said, if you have knowledge of the truth, you'll be set free. Why? Knowledge births faith. Faith brings victory. Praise God. So what's my point of that? Well, the Bible says in Daniel 11:32, they that know God. Well, what would be the result of knowing God? Faith would come. They that know God then would have faith in God, which leads to what? The Bible says, great exploits. If we can get your faith in Him to be large, to be big, you'll have great exploits with your kids, great exploits in your finances, great exploits in your body, in your mind, in your emotions, in your businesses, in life, in pursuing what God has for you spiritually. Praise God. So we're getting to know Him. And then go to Psalms 27 and verse 13. This is the beginning of knowing Him. This is the bare bones foundation. But how many of you know you can't build a good, strong home without a good, strong foundation? You got to have something to build on. And David gave us the key. And this is what we preached on last week. Again, these messages are all archived for you. I encourage you to listen to them. But we're going to, again, just real quick review on this. Look what David said. He said, I had fainted. Or one translation said, what would have become of me? He's basically saying, I don't know what would have happened. It wouldn't have been good. He said, I would have fainted. Now, we saw something last week about fainting. We can't faint. The Bible says in Galatians chapter 6 that we will reap in due season if. Not if we're a child of God. Not if we go to church. Not if we're moral. If we faint not. Well, everything that we have to overcome in this world are going to be temptations or attempts to get us to faint. What do I mean? Pressure against your life, pressure against your family, pressure against your mind, pressure against your body, unfortunate circumstances in your finances are all attempting to get you discouraged. That's why I sent that slick text out this morning. It says, we will not be discouraged. We will count it all joy, because no matter what things look like and what comes against us, we always believe we come out on top. Glory to God. And these things try to get us to faint. We can't faint. Remember what the Bible says in James 1:5? It says, you must ask in faith, nothing wavering. He that wavers, goes into verse 6, is like a wave of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. Let not that person that wavers or faints think they'll receive anything from God. So whether or not you receive from God has to do with whether or not you faint or don't faint. He's always wanting to bless you and help you, so we can't faint. And David said, I would have fainted unless. So he gives us the key to not fainting. He says, I would have fainted unless I had believed faith. Persuaded, convinced. To what? See the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Your faith in God starts at the ground level in a foundation of two things. Number one, that he's only good. But number two, that he wants to be good towards you. Because if you know he's good, and if you know he wants to be good towards you, his goodness is the makeup of who he is. Well, we've seen his goodness manifest in the Bible through miracles, through financial miracles, through healing miracles, through miraculous deliverances, through his protection, through his favor, through his mercy, through his compassion, through his kindness, and through his love. That's his goodness. And so when you believe in his goodness, but then you believe and make it personal of his goodness towards you, then you know whatever you're facing, that his makeup of his goodness will be demonstrated towards your life. And you have faith in him. And when you're facing that financial mountain, that whatever scary mountain that's in front of you, God's goodness can take care of this mountain. He's good. I've seen him do it before. Praise God. I love that David made it personal. He said, I believe I'm going to see it. I personally am going to see it. And we know that David believed that because remember in Psalms 23, what did he say? Surely, goodness. He's talking about God's goodness. And mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. What's he saying? I have an expectation that God's goodness will be displayed in my life. And so many people have been soured by circumstances, have been soured by life, have been soured by tests and by trials, and their view on God is so small, so little, they don't expect. In fact, all they expect is the other shoe to fall. And what are they doing? They're fainting. This will never happen for me. It'll never change for me. I'm always going to be this way. I'm always last. Nobody picks me. I'm the last person that ever. It's just, this is the way. This is the way it's always been. That's fainting. And the only reason you believe that is because you don't believe what David believed. Because if you believed what David believed, you'd say, I know I've been in this a long time, but another day's coming. It means I'm another day closer. God's goodness will be displayed in my life. That which is out of order will be put back in order. That which is turned around the wrong way will be turned back the right way. That's what David was saying. And he said, without that mentality, you're going to faint. If you don't get it solidified in your heart that I know he's good and wants to display that goodness towards me, when the things of the world that show up that are so frightening to our senses, so scary looking to our eyes, and we feel these things, and they're as real as the day is long in the natural realm, if we don't believe in something higher and better than that, we will faint. And that's what David is saying. When you're sick and the doctor says there's no way and the medicine isn't getting the job done, if you don't believe that God's goodness, which healing is wrapped up in that, will be displayed towards your life, why wouldn't you faint? Because you would think, this is all I have to look forward to. If you have a financial situation that your paycheck and your checkbook and your savings account and your sock drawer money cannot fix, and there's no hope of a raise or increase or any blessing coming down the pike to you, why wouldn't you faint? Because that's all you have. Things with your children that you just, naturally there's nothing can be done. Things in your circumstances where there's no help. If you don't believe in God's goodness, it's going to cause you to faint, and you can't faint. Your reaping depends on you not fainting. Glory to God. So we're not going to faint. But if we're not going to faint, we better get what David put in his heart. You better believe that God's goodness. So we're helping you with God's goodness. We saw in the Bible last week, the children of Israel, they lost hope in God's goodness, and they missed out. They fainted. Abraham had a high, high view of God's goodness. So much so that God said, take your son up on a mountain and sacrifice him. Abraham's like, well, you're not going to give me a son to kill him. I trust that you're so good, I'm going to do this. And if I do walk this out and do kill him, you're going to have to raise him from the dead. Why? Abraham said, I believe in your goodness. Where the children of Israel said, after they saw God's goodness in the Red Sea, they said, oh, we can't do this anymore. God brought us here to die. Remember I told you a good joke last week. that God took them out of the Red Sea just to see them be killed by the sword. Because that's what they said. The Lord brought us here to die by the sword. What'd they have? A small view of God's goodness. Can't have it. They fainted. They missed out. Abraham didn't faint and walked into some things. Well, are you ready to see some things about God's goodness? The best way that we can look at and solidify in our hearts that God is always good. Because I'll tell you what, it is a tormenting thought. And I've had it before. And that's why you have to keep your mind renewed to the Word and cast down all the thoughts that aren't the Bible. The devil's a deceiver. And I speak by the Spirit of God right now that the devil will speak things to you to try to get you to take it hook, line, and sinker, to get you into a stronghold in your mind. That's why the Bible says to cast down imaginations and everything that exalts itself against the Bible. Bring into captivity every thought. But it's a tormenting thought when you are convinced or persuaded that God doesn't care, that God doesn't want to help you, that God is okay with you in the hell that you're in on this earth. And the devil would love to tell you that he doesn't care. The devil would love to tell you that he's got better things to do. The devil would love to tell you that you're not important to him. And people have grabbed hold of that, and their view of God has gone way down. They're not believing to see his goodness. And the result is just like David said, had I not believed, no matter what I'm facing, no matter what I'm feeling, to walk into God's goodness and to see God's goodness, I would have fainted. And a lot of people are fainting because they've taken those thoughts. So we need to look at today and solidify in you his goodness. And the best way that I believe that you can be solidified and sold out to God's goodness is by looking at his Son. What do you mean, Pastor Mike? We'll go to John 14 and verse 9. John 14 and verse 9. Glory to God. Jesus said unto him, have I been so long with you, and you have not known me, Philip? Notice this, he that has seen me has seen the Father. Wow. That is pretty heavy in concerning what we're talking about. He said, they that have seen me have seen the Father. Well, we may not have seen Jesus with our physical eyes, but our faith eyes, we see him in the Word of God. We see him in what he's done and what he does by what the Bible says about him. Now go with me to John chapter 5 and verse 19. So Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. John chapter 5 and verse 19, Jesus answered and said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of himself. Notice this. But what he sees the Father do, for what things soever the Father or he does, the Son does likewise. What's Jesus saying? He's saying, I am a copycat. Jesus is saying, I'm a copycat. What's he copy? The Father. He says, what the Son sees the Father do, that's what I'm going to do, praise God. And then verse 30 tells us, I can of my own self do nothing. He wasn't here on his own accord, people. When he did something in the Bible, it wasn't because he thought of it to do. It was because he was instructed and led to do that. It says, I can do nothing of my own self. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just. Notice this, because I seek not my own will. What's he saying? I'm not on my own program here. I'm not doing what I want to do. He said, I do the will of the Father that sent me. Now think of these three verses. Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've seen my dad. Jesus said, anything that I'm doing down here is for two things. Number one, it's because I'm seeing him doing it. It's because that's what he wants me to do. He says, I'm not doing my own thing. I'm bound to do what I see and what he tells me. Praise God. Jesus said, I am a living picture of Father God. Now, people all the time, you say, how's this going to help us in our goodness? Well, think about it. People all the time say, how can I know God? He's a mystery. How do I know if God wants good things for me? How do I know for sure? All you have to do, ladies and gentlemen, is take the blinders off and look at Jesus. If you want to know exactly who your Heavenly Father is, what your Heavenly Father desires for you, the thoughts that He has, the feelings, the motivations, the purposes, the plans that He has for your life, just look at His Son. Jesus was the picture of the Father on the earth. I wrote a book called His Goodness years ago that the Holy Ghost had me write. And the Holy Ghost had put this on my heart years ago when I learned this. I call this the Jesus rule. The Jesus rule states that you can know exactly who the Father is by just looking at Jesus. So today, let's take a look at Jesus. Because a lot of people that have taken the bait of the devil believe in a God that's just not so. Because they believe that God's not interested in your hurt, in your sickness, in your financial problem, in the things with your children, in the deliverance that you need, that He doesn't care, or that He's the author of those bad things. But the problem with that theology and the problem with that doctrine or those thoughts is it's just not the Jesus that I see that walked the earth for 33 and a half years, or the same Jesus today, yesterday, and forever. You want to know God's goodness towards you. Now, what's this going to do? It's going to build faith. What did David say? If I didn't know this, I would faint. So let's take a look at Jesus. And let's see if He's the religious view of God that doesn't care. That's the sickness giver. That just doles out extreme, harsh tests to hurt our lives. No, that's not the Jesus we're going to see. Why isn't it the Jesus we're going to see? Because it's not the God who loves us. Praise God. Go with me to Matthew 9 and verse 35. Matthew 9 and verse 35. Praise God. The devil's such an idiot. He's an idiot, praise God. There's a thaw still coming in 2020. The Holy Ghost prophesied that those things which have been held back will spring forth. It ain't over yet, people. Well, where's the thaw? This has been quite a year. It's not over yet. When Jesus laid in the grave for 3 days, people thought, it's over. It wasn't over yet. 2020 has a lot of time, and my God is a God of suddenlies. He can turn it around real quick. Praise God. Don't be discouraged. When they were on the boat in Mark chapter 4, it looked like hell on earth, the storm, the boat, the water was rising, the boat was sinking, but it wasn't over yet. Glory to God. There's a thaw coming, the Holy Ghost spoke to us in 2020, and those things which have been held back will spring forth. You see, all this stuff that's going on, it's like pulling the bow back farther and farther. You know why Pastor Mike can only shoot about 265 feet per second and not over 300 or close to 400? Because my arms are too short. I can't pull the bow back farther, so I can only get about a bunch of kinetic energy to here. But you get some people, and their draw length is humongous. My father-in-law, you ever seen those apes at the zoo? And they walk around, and their arms are... He's got a wingspan like an ape. And so he can pull a bow back farther and farther and farther. And when he releases it, that thing flies. Glory to God. Well, the beginning of 2020, what's happening? We're just getting pulled back farther and farther. And when the time comes forth for the springing forth, woo! Come on, don't lose heart. If you fainted at that word, shame on you. 2020's not done yet. If 2020 ended on July 5th, we might be thinking, what in the world happened to 2020? but there's still July, August, September, October, November, December, and my God only needs a second. Praise God. Hallelujah. Matthew 9 and verse 35 says, Jesus, I hope my father-in-law does not watch this. I hope he does not see that. But his arms are huge. I can't imagine. Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But look at verse 36. But when he saw the multitudes, notice this, when he saw a bunch of people, he was moved. Ladies and gentlemen, if Jesus was moved, it's only because the Father moved him. Because anything Jesus does, anything Jesus says, of course we know Jesus and the Father and the Holy Ghost are one, but Jesus said, I'm taking my cues from heaven. He's moved with compassion. Well, why was he? He says, because they fainted and were scattered abroad. Well, that word fainted and scattered in the Amplified, it says, he looked at a bunch of people that were dejected. They were harassed. They were bewildered. They were distressed. They were helpless. When Jesus encountered people that were helpless, hopeless, dejected, in despair, hurting, scattered, and faint, he didn't turn a blind eye to it. No, he was moved to have compassion on them. Why? Because the Father was moved. And if the Father's moved, Jesus was moved. Psalms 145, I love this verse. Psalms 145 and verse 8. Praise God. Psalms 145 and verse 8. It says, the Lord is gracious, full of compassion. So why would Jesus operate in compassion? Because his daddy is full of it. And look what it says here. Slow to anger and of great mercy. Look at verse 9. The Lord is good to all. And his tender mercies are over all his works. If you're struggling with believing that God cares and that God's for you, Psalms 145, verse 8 and 9 is your recipe that you need to feed and feed and feed till you wake up knowing God is for me, praise God. God's got goodness towards me. And we see in Matthew 9, verse 35 and 36, when Jesus encountered people that were hurting, he didn't just not care. He wasn't indifferent about it. He was so moved with compassion. Why? He doesn't want people being scattered and faint. He doesn't want people feeling dejected, harassed, bewildered, distressed, and helpless. He loves you. He wants to turn around your hurt. That which is oppressing you, that which is causing you to be dejected, harassed, bewildered, all these natural things, he wants to help you. How do we know? Go to Mark chapter 4. Let's see where we'll go here. Mark chapter 4. Now, we're going to just look at verse 35. We won't read the whole story, but just to give us context. It says, in the same day when evening was come, he, or Jesus, said unto them, let us pass to the other side. So they're going to the other side. We know the story for time's sake. They get out into the boat. Now remember this. The Father knew that they would encounter a great hurricane-like storm. Nothing catches God off guard. They come into a storm where their lives are in jeopardy, threatened naturally. Jesus uses his faith, calms the storm. They get to the other side, and we pick it up in chapter 5 and verse 1. When they came over to the other side of the sea into the country of the Gadarenes, and when he was come out of the ship, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit. Do you think that the Father knew that on the other side there was going to be a man that was going to meet Jesus immediately? Absolutely. Why do you think God sent Jesus across that body of water? See, no, there were other reasons. No. If you read this, after Jesus ministers to this one person, he goes back to where he came from. He didn't have a meeting there. Didn't go around preaching and teaching. He ministered. He went across a body of water through a hurricane for one person. Why? He's full of compassion. Oh, the mountains and the storms and the rivers and the valleys that God will go over and cross over to get help to you, praise God. He came over to the other side of the Sea of the Gadarenes, and when he was come out of the ship, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit who had his dwelling among the tombs, and no man could bind him, no, not with chains, because he had been often bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken in pieces, and neither could any man tame him. And always, night and day, he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying, cutting himself with stones. But when he saw Jesus far off, he ran and worshipped him, and cried with a loud voice, said, "What do I have to do with you, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I adjure you by not that you torment me not." Of course, the demons are speaking through him. For he said unto him, "Come out of the man, you unclean spirit." And we know the story. It came out, and the man is set free, and the man begins to publish and tell about God's goodness. And people that know this man can't believe what's happened. And it all happened because God loved somebody so much that was hurting that he was willing to cross a body of water in the worst storm they'd ever seen. The disciples thought they were going to die just to help him and then get back in the boat and go back. Oh, what God wants to do for you, child of God. This man wasn't even a Christian. He was possessed by the devil. And God said, "I want him," praise God. How much would he do for you being his child? Where along the lines have you gotten twisted and turned around in your mind to start losing your hope and confidence in your God? He will go to the absolute nth degree for you. If he would do it for a sinner who belonged to the devil, what would he do for his own kid that belongs to him? I am built up. My faith grows when I read this and get this in my heart. Because again, whether or not we overcome is determined on our faith, and our faith will not thrive if we don't believe to see God move. Because it's God moving through his goodness that changes our life. Amen. Oh, Lord, help us. Help, help thou our unbelief. Oh, Lord, we need more faith in him. Amen. And I'll tell you what, this does something for me. Yeah. Amen. I'm in a better position than the Gadarene demoniac. Yeah. And so are you, praise God. Amen. We are his. Thank you, Father. But he needs your belief and faith to show up. Glory to God. Go to Matthew chapter 8 and verse 1. What are we looking at? The goodness of God through Jesus. I am so in love with him. So excited about him. Praise God. I don't have this in my notes, but it just came up out of my spirit to say this about this. We could take time to look at it, but remember when Peter denied Jesus? Here he was with him for 3.5 years. And when the tough times hit, Peter wussed out, didn't he? Yeah. Remember, Peter 3 times denied that he even knew him, and in the hour of darkness, in the hour of test and trial, Peter missed it. And remember, one of the people that Peter denied was just a little girl. Yeah. She couldn't do anything to Peter, but he was so afraid, so he just gotten so weak that he denied Jesus. And you know what I love about about Jesus? Jesus came back to Peter, and you know Peter wept and he repented. He was so sad. And Jesus, when he rose from the dead and was speaking with Peter, didn't say to Peter, "You loser. How could you do that?" He said, "Do you love me, Peter?" Peter said, "Yes," 3 times. And 3 times, what did Jesus say? "Feed my sheep, feed my sheep, feed my sheep." Not only do we see the importance of how Jesus wants us to be fed, but the second thing we see in that is Jesus is assuring Peter, "I'm not done with you. You're called. I don't care that you missed it." What about the woman caught in the very act of adultery, and they brought her before Jesus? Jesus didn't say, "You deserve to be stoned. You deserve to be shamed and ridiculed. No, compassion flowed from him. And what did he say? They that is without the first sin, or without sin, cast the stone. They all dropped the rocks. And Jesus said, and she said, well, they all left. And he said, they don't condemn you, and neither do I. Just go and do it no more. What am I telling you? You might be mixed up in something. You might have a past or a laundry list that's beating you up and telling you you're disqualified from God's mercy, that God's not going to help you because of this, this, and this. All you need to do is ask him to forgive you. All you need to do is repent. And his mercy, he's endeavoring to be merciful. Praise God. Thank you for that utterance, Father. Matthew chapter 8 and verse 1. When Jesus had come down from the mountains, great multitudes followed him. And behold, there came a leper and worshipped him, a sick person now, saying, Lord, if you're willing. I love what the Message Bible says. The Message Bible says, Lord, if you want to do this. He says, Lord, if you're willing or if you will, he said, you can make me clean. He didn't struggle with God's ability. He struggled with God's willingness. See, God's ability is not the demonstration of his goodness. It's God's willingness that his goodness is demonstrated. Praise God. You can have the ability to bless somebody, but just because you have the ability to bless somebody, they're not fully blessed until you show your willingness to do it. And so Jesus is saying to him, he said, Lord, I know you can, but if you want to do this, will you make me clean? And Jesus said, I will. The Message Bible said, I want to. Jesus said, I want to do that. Now think about this. A sick man came to him and said, I need my healing. Do you want to do this? What's Jesus' response? I want to. Now, why would Jesus say, I want to heal somebody? Only because the Jesus rule. Whatever I see Dad doing, whatever Dad wants me to do down here, I will do it. Praise God. Remember what we just looked at in Matthew 9? He said, he went about all the cities and villages preaching, teaching, and healing every sickness. You look at Jesus' ministry, you know what he went around doing? Preaching and teaching, which builds people's faith, and healing. Healing. Why? Jesus is showing us God's demonstration that, hey, I want to heal your body. We saw it at the man at the pool of Bethesda. We saw it in blind Bartimaeus. We saw it in the Syrophoenician woman. We saw it with the man with the withered hand. We saw it in the woman with the issue of blood. We saw it in Jairus' daughter. We saw it over and over again. Not one time. No, listen to me now because you need to get this. Not one time do we ever see Jesus saying, no, I don't want to heal you. How God anointed Acts 10:38, Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil. We never see Jesus saying, no, I'm okay with you being sick. No, I want you to be sick. In every case, he healed them unless their faith was the problem. Remember Mark 6, the Bible says Jesus could there do no mighty work except lay his hands on a few sick folk, and he marveled at their unbelief. Jesus was going around just looking to demonstrate God's goodness through the avenue of healing. Why? Because that's what God's doing. You know what God's doing right now with the condition in your body? I want to heal that. I want to heal that. Well, then where's my healing been? Well, one thing the Bible says to do is let a man examine himself whether or not he be in the faith or not. Are you in faith? Are you in expectation? Are you convinced God's healing? Because if you're not, you're handcuffing him. So I hope that you see through Jesus that wherever Jesus went, and you know who Jesus went to? Non-Christians. Again, I'll say it again. If he wants to heal non-Christians, and he wants to heal people that don't even know him like you and I do, what in the world does he want to do for you? Praise God. Hallelujah. Go with me to Matthew chapter 15 and verse 32. Over and over, ladies and gentlemen, what did we see Jesus doing? Healing, healing, healing. Well, that was Jesus. No, that was the Father in action. Amen. Matthew 15 and verse 32. Excuse me. Then Jesus called his disciples unto him and said, I have, compassion on the multitude. Now, why does he have compassion on this group of people? Well, we know the group of people before. They're dejected, they're harassed, they're scattered, they're faint, they're helpless, they're hurting. He said, I have compassion on the multitude because they have been with me now 3 days. And they don't have anything to eat. And I will not send them away fasting, lest they faint in the way. What's Jesus saying in Matthew 15, 32? He's saying, I have compassion on people because they have a need in their life. And I don't want them to have a need in their life. I don't want them to go without in their life. Now, why is Jesus saying, I have compassion and I don't want them to go without? Because that's what Daddy's take was. Jesus is not moved on his own. He didn't do anything on his own. The Father God from heaven is looking upon his creation and saying, they have a need. I'm not okay with them being in need. I want to meet those needs. Well, doesn't the Bible say in Psalm 23, verse 1, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want or lack or have need. He said in Philippians 4, 19, I want to meet your needs, not keep you in a place of need, but meet your needs. And this is in action, and we saw this demonstrated in the life of Jesus over and over. And here, 4,000 people, besides men and children, got their needs met just because the Father wanted it to happen. And then we see back, I think it's over there in Matthew chapter 14, we see a case where 5,000 people, besides women and children, got their needs met because he, again, did not want them to go without. And we see this over and over, a demonstration of God being a provider through his son Jesus. What about the time that Peter needed tax money? What did Jesus do? Go fishing, Peter. The first fish you get the money out of his mouth. What's he saying? I want to meet that need. Why? Because that's what Daddy wants to do. Amen. What about when Peter went fishing and failed on his own, worked all night, didn't get anything? Jesus stepped into the equation. We can't have you going home with nothing for your family, for nothing to provide for. Jesus stepped in and the fish came, praise God. Why did Jesus do that and tell Peter to go fishing? Jesus didn't just have a hunch. Hey, I think I want to go fishing today. Because the Father motivated him and moved him in that direction. What about in Cana of Galilee for the first miracle Jesus did? They needed wine for the wedding feast, and Jesus met the need that day. Why? Because that's what the Father wanted. We could go on and on and on. What are we showing you and trying to get into you? God's goodness. God's goodness to deliver. God's goodness to heal. God's goodness to turn things around. The Gadarene demoniac had his life turned completely around. He was completely delivered from the oppression that was coming against him. Do you think God might want to do that for you? He wants to heal you. He wants to provide for you. He wants to deliver you. Why? We see it in the life of Jesus. John 10 and verse 10, and we'll close with this. John 10 and verse 10. You need faith, and you better work on building your faith. Because things have been coming to planet Earth, and Jesus has prophesied that things are going to get worse. Our eyes are going to see some things, but we don't have to get darker and darker. We can shine brighter and brighter, but it's only going to come through faith. It does not come through moaning and groaning and griping and complaining and a wishing and a hoping. It comes through faith. We see in the Bible when people did not choose to believe God and walk in faith, he was handcuffed. But when people believed him, oh, his power flowed. And you're going to need his power in this life, ladies and gentlemen. You're going to need his provision, his favor, his healing, his deliverance. It only comes through faith. These messages that God, that the Holy Ghost has put on my heart to preach, they're gifts to us from heaven. Amen. To prep us, to get us out of some of the garbage we're in, and to get us into what He has for us, and for the oncoming onslaught that the devil's going to bring against us, but we will prevail. Amen. John 10 and verse 10, the Bible says, the thief comes not but for to steal, kill, and destroy. He said, I have come. Well, why did He even come? First of all, just because the Father wanted Him to. It was the Father's will. That they might have life. That word life is the word zoe in the Greek, which means the God kind of life. Or one translation says, the life as God enjoys it. He says, I have come that they might have life, and life more abundantly, or the kind of life that God has more abundantly. In the Old Testament, the Jews, you know what they called that? Days of heaven on earth. Remember Jesus said, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. What's He saying? I don't want you just to get saved and then have to live a hellish life till you get there. No. Why? God is not a deadbeat daddy. Once you become His child, you say, well, I'm good. I'm done with you for 50, 60, 70, 80, 90 years. Fend for yourself. No. He said, Jesus, get down there and bring them abundant life. Give them the opportunity to have days of heaven on the earth. Days of heaven on the earth. Heaven's got prosperity and joy and peace and freedom and healing and favor and protection. He said, Jesus, get down there and give them all that. That's what He said. Amen. But it, you say, I'm not receiving it. I don't understand that. I don't get that. Got to get faith. Amen. Maybe your faith pipeline's been plugged up with sourness, doubt, and unbelief. These messages are meant to revive you and to renew you and rejuvenate you and re-energize you to believe God. Give them a chance to flow, praise God. And Jesus is the same yesterday. What we saw Him doing through God, through a demonstration of God's will, He's doing yesterday, He's doing it today, July 5th, and He's doing it tomorrow. Praise God. Ladies and gentlemen, I can't stress this enough. Get this stuff in your heart. And oh, my heart is grieved. And thus saith the Lord, I'm telling you what the Holy Ghost just spoke to me. There are some that will take this lightly. There are some it'll go in and out. There are some that will be like that ground, the wayside ground, that when their help came, like the birds of the air came and gobbled up that seed. And there will be some that will not let this get down in them and will not be rooted in this. And the tests will come, the storms will come, the winds will blow and the waves will rise. And those people that did not take the time will be overcome. Those people that did not develop their faith. As Jesus spoke to Peter, Peter, the devil's after you, but I've prayed for you that your faith would fail not. What's He saying? Peter, you need good working faith to overcome. And the only way we get good working faith is getting this stuff into us by how? Hearing and hearing and hearing. If you're not at the place where your expectation is through the roof of His goodness demonstrating in any area of your life that's off, that's out of order, that doesn't look like abundant life, if you're not convinced He wants to, He's gonna, and it's gonna happen, you need more faith in Him. Amen. You're fainting. Well, praise God, you've got your help. Hallelujah, we are blessed. Let's praise Him this morning, Father. We believe You. We expect. You're faithful. You don't lie, and You are good. Lord, we're not going to faint because we're going to believe to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Thank You for Your goodness being demonstrated in our lives. Thank You for showing Yourself strong on the behalf of those that love and trust You, Father, that believe You. We praise You for it. Now, if I could ask everybody to bow their heads and to close their eyes. Ask yourself this question here this morning. If today were my last day on planet Earth, do I know that I know that I know that I would go to heaven? Because when I ask myself that question, I don't wonder if I'll go to heaven. I'm not unsure of it. I am 100% certain that I am going to heaven. So how do you know that? Because I followed the guidelines and the directions of the Bible. Jesus said he's the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except through him. So we must go through Jesus. What does that mean, Pastor Mike? Well, the Bible says in John 3:16, if you'd believe on Jesus, you'd be saved. Romans 10:13 says, then if you would call on Jesus, you'd be saved. And a reason it says to believe and receive, because the verses prior to Romans 10:13 says, belief or faith is in two places. You believe in your heart, and you confess with your mouth, call on his name, you'll be saved. So those of you that are watching right now, tuning in with us, if you've never received Jesus as your Lord and Savior, getting into heaven has nothing to do with church attendance. Getting into heaven has nothing to do with whether your good deeds outweigh your bad deeds. You are not bad enough to be kept out of heaven, and your good works aren't good enough to get you in. Jesus is the measuring line. He is it. He is the ticket. So with heads bowed and eyes closed, if you can say, Pastor Mike, I do believe in him, but I don't know if I'd go to heaven. I've never called on his name. I've never officially made him the Lord of my life. We're going to pray and believe that right now. You don't have to think up the words. I'm going to pray a prayer, and the contents of that prayer are going to be you declaring you believe and declaring you receive. Basically, Romans 10 and verse 9 is how you get saved, the Bible says. I'll lead you in that prayer. All I ask is that you mean it with all your heart. So everybody that's watching, even if you're born again, those that are watching and you're not saved and you want to get saved, go ahead and say this after me and mean it with all your heart. Lord Jesus, I believe in you.
I believe you are real.
And I believe you died on the cross
for my sins.
And I believe that you rose from the dead. And I ask you to come into my life. I thank you for saving me. In Jesus' name. Amen. If you prayed that, congratulations. I prayed that prayer on January 10th of 2002, and my life was forever changed because I became his, praise God. And there's a next step for you. You know, I mentioned you don't have to go to church to get saved, and you don't, but to learn about all that God has for you. You know, back when Jesus said he had compassion on the multitude, you know the reason they were dejected, harassed, bewildered, and distressed, helpless? He said because they were like sheep without a shepherd. People that don't have a pastor, the devil can mess with them. The world can get to them. You'll still go to heaven if you receive Jesus, but the road will be way rougher than someone that has a pastor, a Bible teaching pastor, that's preaching the word to them, in church with them, building their faith up. So I encourage you, if you live near Allegheny, South Dayton, and when I say near, I'm talking within 2 hours, because a 2-hour drive to me is worth it to go to church, 3-hour drive. If there was, I'm just telling you, for me, it's worth, you know, if you could get there to church in a reasonable, you know. If you don't live around here, get a hold of us. We'll find a church for you, praise God, that you can believe. And if not, we'll believe God to put a church where you're at, praise God. And you continue to watch us by lives, because I do understand there are distances that you wouldn't be able to get here. So don't think I'm that crazy, praise God. But I understand that's reasonable. But, you know, if you can reasonably be in church, it's not a good excuse, I'm too busy. I don't want to. That's not my style. No, what does the word say? Find a Bible-teaching pastor, plant in that church, receive what God has for you. It doesn't have to be this one, but if you want to come to this one, we're going to preach the Bible. We're going to preach faith, and we're going to follow the Holy Spirit. We are a Word and Spirit church, praise God. The Holy Ghost has free reign in our churches. So if you're looking for a Bible church like that, we'd love to be your pastors. Please let me know. Give me a phone call. Shoot me an email. Those things are on the website. But before we praise God and leave, remember, no midweek service. We wouldn't have been able to have it anyways unless we did it online. We're taking them off in July. Don't let that be a break from God. Still pray. Still be in the Word. Build yourself up. And, of course, we'll be back here again next Sunday morning at 10 o'clock. And so after next Sunday morning, we'll then again meet Saturday night in Allegheny and Sunday morning in South Dayton. We're going to the other side, praise God. Stand with me to your feet and let's praise Him this morning. Father, we bless You, we love You, we glorify You. We thank You we're going to the other side. We thank You we're going to see Your goodness displayed in our lives. In Jesus' name, everybody said,
amen.
I love and appreciate You. You are dismissed.